Office hours are now open. Welcome to the show where we answer everyday questions about life and work in Luxembourg by talking to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts. Send me your feedback to adam.petersen@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to the show. November 29th, 2006 at the Arena in Manchester. 24th of May 2019 at Croke Park in Dublin. 13th of February 2026 in Studio 9 in Kirchberg. What do they have in common? They are, of course, the reunions that will go down in history. But who are the people reuniting? In 2006 it was Take That. In 2019 it was the Spice Girls. And in 2026 it's the real estate agents who appeared on the very first episode of Office Hours. In that episode we answered the question of why are there so many real estate agents in Luxembourg? And what are the different business models? So welcome back to the show. So Maritz from the traditional agency Van Moritz, welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back Pitt from the smaller family business of Spouts.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. And welcome back Pierrick. Last time told us about being a member of RE/MAX and the network of franchisees. But now things have changed for you.
Yes, so my contractor franchisee has finished and I changed to join my wife in an agency, Real Estate, to work in Luxembourg, but also abroad.
Okay, and where abroad?
So we are in France, we are in Spain, Portugal, Italy, Monaco and Dubai.
Oh, wow.
Almost in Switzerland.
So you're a global network then?
Yes.
So we have now a global network, a family business and a traditional model as well. On that first episode, towards the end, it was Pitt who suggested that the rental business would be an interesting topic of conversation. So let's jump into that. The rental business, it's a totally different business to sales, because sales is like one big purchase, where a rental business is ongoing, smaller revenue all the time. So tell me a bit about how the rental business works.
So we do quite a lot of rentals, more in the east of the country, because we are located in the east of Luxembourg. We do quite a decent amount every year. It's a lot of work at the end, because you have to start with the advertisements, the visits, hand off the keys, inventory lists, and everything that's part of this, and also checking the rent tenants.
So when you say it's a lot of the business, what proportion of your time does it take up?
Well, I have a colleague who is working in my agency and she's just doing rentals for me because I wouldn't have time to do rentals and sales.
Maritz, when you were on before, you said that you have a bunch of people work in your agency. Do you do the similar sort of split to Pitt? How does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. But for us, rentals is actually maybe 10% maximum of our business. Rentals is really, really low. So I have two people who are just doing rentals. Yeah. So we don't make sales and rentals. It takes huge, enormously time to do. It's the same as doing a sales. It has the same quality. It is the same showings. It is the same, but it is just a very small part of our business.
How about yourself, Pierrick?
Yes, the same. So I think it's around 10% of our turnover, but it takes lots of time. But it's important for us to do it for our customers, to accompany them for renting and for selling. And my team, we are 8, and we are doing both renting and selling.
So everyone's renting and everyone's selling.
Yes, not people just doing renting. Every agents are doing both renting and selling.
Yeah, and how many people do you have in your agency?
We are all of us together, 15, and I have about 10 commercials. Included.
Is it different skill set then? Tell me a bit about how the relationship goes with the people, not the sellers, but the renters. Tell me a bit about how that connection, that relationship gets built.
Well, the renters, they go on the known platforms and they check for rentals. They check for an apartment, a two-bedroom, three-bedroom, one-bedroom. They check about the pricing, the area where they want to be. So we have to present the objects in a proper way, in a professional way. And they do, as the buyers of real estate housing, they contact us and say, look, we would like to have a viewing. But what is not so easy and what is a problem in Luxembourg, I believe, is that many owners do not want to rent out too much to foreigners. No dogs, no kids, Yeah. And that is problematic. That is really a problem, because I have now done two just to help out. One of our guys was absent. And actually, it is a fantastic job to be able to rent out an apartment to people that have never been able to rent out an apartment. To fight this, or I had an Ukrainian family to be able to rent out. They were living in an Airbnb and the kids were going to school. And then you find them an apartment and you have to convince the owners that, you know, it is a good family. It is a normal family. They are also entitled to live here. It is really heartwarming to do that kind of things. Yeah. But it is sometimes disgusting when you have to see and you have Indian people that you cannot accept because the client doesn't want, the owner doesn't want them to cook Indian in their kitchen because it smells lots too spices. I don't mind. I am not
You've taken me to one of the chewier questions like really early, but we'll keep going there. So I don't quite understand that. Is it legal? I mean, if...
Well, the problem is, I mean, there are so few offers on the rental market compared to the sales market. Especially in the east of Luxembourg, you find much more houses and apartments for sale than to rent. But the demand is equally high. We have a huge demand when we put an apartment online. We need to remove it after 2 or 3 hours on the market because we can't fix like 50 appointments with people, and after 5 appointments we already found a tenant. That makes no sense.
So the rental market is a lot, supply and demand is just way more out of whack than in the
There is a big difference. And so we need to discuss with the owner about his requirements, about the people, but after we do visit with all the people. If for me in my agency, I ask always the documents, the files from the tenants before doing the visits. And after, I give all the details to the owner so that he can do a choice.
Yes. Okay. Exactly. And just to add, if it's legal or not, well, you could discuss, is it legal to say, no, you won't visit the apartment because you have a dog or because you have too many kids or whatever. But at the end, if the owner has like six documents of tenants in front of him, he's not going to choose the one with the dogs and with the too many kids and so on, because he will always find the matching candidate to choose the apartment, and he has only one apartment to rent and he only needs one tenant.
Yeah, I do it a little bit different.
Okay.
Because when we put on an object online, we decide actually for the clients who is a good match or not a good match. Indeed, and that we have done already since a long time, is to ask the documents beforehand, like documents, ID cards, a working contract and 3 payslips, because we need to know the rental cannot exceed 3 times the income, net income of the family. If it is 2,000, then you need to have a minimum of 6,000. But because if there is a problem, it's the rental that will be cut off. And once you don't pay 1 month's rent, the second one will follow and you will never get out of what you owe to the owner.
I get that there should be, you know, you're going into a contract over a period of time, so you need to show that you have the income that means you can satisfy that contract. Yeah. I kind of get that. Some of the other requirements, like dogs, for example, you give a deposit on the house. So if your cat scratches, I know, a bit of the door, that's the point of the deposit, to keep it, right?
Between tenants, one has no cats, no pets, and one who have 2 dogs, the owner will always choose the one without pets.
And also, if the owner has to do some works because of the dog after the rental period, those 2 months never cover the whole cost.
That has changed. It is a law that has changed during the previous government. It was usual that a tenant pays 3 months' rent as a guarantee, and now it has been lowered down to 2 months' rent. Yeah, and that is problematic, because a rent of 2,000 is 4,000 euros in an apartment. You do not do very much. Yeah. So you have to be care a little bit if you want to keep your apartment in a good shape, because a dog alone the whole day for 8 hours, the tenants can always tell you what they want, and you can only believe what they want, but the result is often different.
So with that law going and only needing 2 months rent instead of 3, then the people who are renting their apartments have got more conservative and are even more...
To be very big, careful with the tenants we are choosing for our landlords.
So this is one of those real unintended consequences, because that's supposed to help the people that are doing the renting. But actually, it's made it hard. What I'm hearing from you is it's kind of made it harder, because people are then being more conservative about, more choosy about their renting. So,
But this is not the only change they have made. A few years ago, it was a 3 months guarantee, 1 month rent, and 1 month agency fee. Yeah. So you're on 5 months rent. That is 10,000 euros. Not everybody has 10,000 euros in the bank just to start renting out an apartment. So they have cut the 3 months in 2 months, and then the agency fee they have cut half. So that is...
So why does the... I never quite understand this. Why does the person doing the renting pay the agency fee? Shouldn't it be the person who owns the property pays the agent? Because they pick the agent, right? They're the person that picks you.
So before 2024, it was only the tenants who paid the whole agency fees. And since 2024, it's half-half with the landlord. I think it's a good point. And I had no troubles with my landlords since they have to pay half of the agency fees. I think it was Luxembourg was the last country in Europe doing like this. And for me, because the tenants already has to pay 2 months deposit plus the first month. So I think it's a good point for the tenants.
So that's headed in the right direction.
Yeah, for me, it's in the right direction. And I thought I had some troubles with my landlords. But in fact, they almost 100% they understand that they have to pay half of the commission.
And the people who have the properties, are they generally individuals? Are they companies? What's the range of people who...
Well, that are interesting people, because those are people that that have a property and that rent out property. So that's actually a very good client, because maybe one day he wants to sell something. So you take care of them. You take care of those clients that have property. So that's why we do rentals. But I'm not going to specifically do only rentals or too many of them. I do what they ask me to do, and they come in and they go out, but I'm not going to spend lots of time in that. If I have a few profiles coming in, I check them fairly quickly and I propose, this is a good one. I go visit them with them and I rent it out. I don't make, one client is enough. And if that's confident, that's why the owner trusts us as well, his apartment. Mm. It's no need to give him 10 or 20 different profiles. What is he going to do with those people? Yeah. You can only rent one apartment. You can only make one family happy.
Yes, for me, what is very important is to build a relationship, a strong relationship with our landlords compared to sale, or we are selling just one house. And usually we are waiting maybe 10 years or before discussing again with our clients. With the landlords, we are discussing for long term, because we are renting one apartment. Maybe the tenants will change in 1 year, 2 years. Maybe the landlords has two, three for some of my clients. I'm managing maybe five or more properties. So the relationship is very different. And for me, it's very interesting, because we are managing a strong relationship. So it's very nice. I know the my clients, I'm going to their house. And for me, it's a service, because of course we have a less income as a sale, but it's very interesting because it's in the long term.
Yeah, it's definitely a different business. And so you were saying a lot of the landlords have five or six properties that we deal with.
There are quite a lot, yeah. I have also quite a lot of landlords in my database who have at least three, four, five, six, seven apartments or houses that I take care of.
Is it rare then to have someone who's just renting out one apartment?
No, most of the time.
It's also common. But okay. I guess people would be very surprised how many people here in Luxembourg have more than just one property that they are able to rent out. And to get back to your question, for me personally, I have just individual clients as a landlord. I don't work with companies who have like a huge real estate portfolio.
If I won the premium bonds or the lottery, if I win a million next week, and I've got the choice of investing that in stocks and shares or buying a buy-to-let property, would you recommend becoming a landlord with that money?
In my opinion, buying property in Luxembourg and renting it out is not bringing you the cash flow in this situation. It covers your expenses. Your yield is not, or ROI is not very high. The more interesting thing here in Luxembourg was always you keep your property, you rent it out, and you sell it after a couple of years and with huge win. And you basically win on your sale afterwards. Yeah.
Yes, it's for long term.
In different countries, you have much higher ROIs compared to Luxembourg.
So the yield on the property whilst you own it isn't great.
Your purchase price is too high.
Yeah.
Towards your rental price. So that is a little bit, in average, is about 2.8%. So it varies between 2.5 and 3%. So that's very easy to, if you have 1 million, you get 30,000 euros per year divided by 12. Yeah. So you know exactly what
minus
is the rent.
Minus taxes and so on.
It's for long term. Well. The good point is to buy at a low price and to rent, to sell in 10 years.
But I want to come back to something what you said earlier, because you said, what if I'm an owner and I want, what should I do? Shall I sell or should I rent? Then the question is, The moment you rent it, you have an investment. So if you live in the house or in the apartment since 10 or 15 years, and you say, I go abroad, I have to go back home, I go to my home country or so on, and say, I'm going to rent it out, well, then all these, how do you say this, this capital gain, what you're making, you're going to be taxed on it. Mm. And you could put it in your pocket, just like that, if you don't rent it out.
Yeah.
So very often it's better to sell than to rent.
Yeah.
Take the cash and thank you, goodbye, because...
I was reading around, there seemed to be a rule that if you've lived in it more than, in it more than 2 years, and then you, let's say I go to England, I need to sell it within 5 to avoid the capital gains, but then it's still...
No, it's shorter.
Is it shorter now?
Yeah, it's 2 years. It's the year. The year you want to sell plus 1 year. So it is, if you sell it in December, it's 1 month plus a year. And if you sell it in January, it's...
Almost 2 years.
Two years.
There you go. Do not trust what ChatGPT sells you.
No, not at all. I recently had that conversation with a client even last week. It's exactly as they said. It's always the following year, 31st of December, where you have your deadline to have it sold. At the notary, not trust sales agreement between parties.
Yeah.
If that's not the case, you have to pay quite a lot of taxes. Up to 21%, yes.
Having it, holding it as a investment, you're not getting a great yield, you're risking tax at the back
if you have a tenant with a dog and the dog eats the carpet and eats your wall and eats your window frames and frames and all of that.
There's some really nice dogs out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But every nice dog which is too much alone at home gets naughty, one way or another one.
But at the end, if the landlord want to rent more than selling, he has to rent for long term.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to just rent for 1 year to say, oh, maybe in 1 year the market will be better, because he will lose because of the capital gain.
I like the short-term rentals because I make more money.
Absolutely. And it's interesting though how you view it as kind of an investment on the relationship, which will then be converted into a sale later on, which is then where the...
That's the main goal, I guess, behind every real estate agent who does rentals as a service to your client and hoping that he will get back to you one day with a sales mandate and not just with a rental.
Let's take a quick break there and then we're coming back and I'm going to dig into a couple more of those questions. A 3% increase in apartment prices, 7% increase in house prices. These are the latest numbers from the report from Statek. With inflation at 3.1%, it looks like a fairly healthy market. Welcome back to Office Hours. After covering the rental business in part one, I want to open the conversation up to housing a little bit more generally. From the headline number, it seems like a sensible market. The prices are going up fairly close to inflation. But then I was looking at some other stats and saw that 9,000 people net migration to Luxembourg last year, but we only built about 800 apartments or so. Unless 10 people are living in each apartment, we've got a bit of a housing crisis. And is that driving the rental market where the landlords are getting to choose?
Yeah, obviously people coming to Luxembourg to start their life here, they obviously look out for rentals before even buying something. But also, I mean, you wouldn't move to a new country and buy immediately a property without knowing how does the country work, how does the real estate market work.
Are we building enough apartments or is it too tight? No.
But there are quite a lot of factors playing for it. I mean, it starts with already getting the approval. If a project developer wants to build the property, he has a long procedure to get the approval to even start building. And I'm not talking about a couple of weeks, but I'm talking about a couple of years or even decades that I heard. And if we wouldn't have this problem, in my opinion, there would be much more housings on the market.
I think politics have to do a big reform about real estate. Now we have also ecological restrictions, but also many restrictions because we can't do this, we can't do that. And it depends also about the communes because not the communes have the same rules. We know, for example, as real estate agents, that some communes are very tough. And when I know somebody wants to build in this city, I said, no, you have to choose another city because this one is such a mess. So I think politics have to do a big reform to make much more quicker.
One of the rumors you hear is that people are just sitting on land and waiting for the land prices to go up. And sometimes you'll drive down the street, there'll be houses, then just a little blank space in the middle. Is it people waiting for the value of the land to go up, or is it people being stuck in the bureaucracy of the government?
The land price is high. And that is the owners who set the price. If they sell or don't sell, if you have a piece of land that doesn't eat any bread, that is where the government is making a first change. If you don't want to sell and it is in a building area, you start to pay a taxe foncière, depending on the city you're in. It gets higher and higher by the years. That you see now as well, they don't call it anymore a morcellement, but they call it now like a lotissement. If you want to sell and it just splits a piece of land in two or in three or in four. And you have to get into an agreement with the commune so that you're going to build on it within the next 2 years. And if not, it costs you €20,000 per year per plot of land that you have kind of divided, and they don't want people to be able to buy land anymore if it is for an investment. So you could not buy today because you have some money, you earn some bonus or a lottery whatsoever. You could say, oh, I buy this plot of land for my son. He is only 4 years old, and I start to build on it and I give it to him when he is 18 or 20 or 30, so he has a nice plot of land. That is impossible. Nowadays, you buy it, you have to build on it.
And now everything is expensive. Since the crisis, the raw materials is very, very expensive, so for promoters, it's very difficult.
May I add on that, that in 2021, the money was too cheap. The people who bought, and they did a fixed rate, they have done a perfect sale. But somebody bought it on the high price. That was overpriced what they paid, but just because the money was cheap. Now, if you have a divorce, you are stuck with your house because you do not get that price back. You don't get back that what you paid for it. You have lost 20 or 30%.
Do people wedded to their price? Do they think that's what I paid, that's what I should get? Yeah, or yeah, do people
understand that? They want to get back what they paid, but it's impossible. I mean, the market is as it is. You have high points, you have low points, and we are currently at a low point. If you bought in 2021 and to decide in the meantime that life has to be apart between of us, we are going to divorce or whatever, you have to live with the market as this for the moment. Yeah. And you are probably going to do negative numbers on your properties.
Yeah, but that is the problem why today there is not so many properties being built or apartment blocks being built, because the promoters bought enormously a lot of land and they were thinking we can sell it at 12,000, 14,000 euros a square meter. Doesn't matter. They bought everything they could. But then the market turned around. It started with China closing down complete cities, so there was no plastic tubes anymore to be delivered. So the whole building materials started to rise up in prices. The interest rates started to up and to rise enormously a lot. And there is nothing left. So what do the promoters do? They have to pay back the banks. And are you going to pay and buy an apartment on paper, like in a WEFA, and you do not know what the financial situation is of your promoter? Is he not going to be with your money first going to pay back the bank? He has still not built, he has still not made a hole, and he has still not started building. That is where the problem is today, and that is the result of what happened in 2021. Yeah. The market is recovering very slowly. We are selling new builds, but only if the promoter is starting to build and is showing, I have the money, I can build, I can construct. I have now done 30%, 40%, 50%. Then people are more in confidence to buy.
In fact, there is a paradox, because we have a lack of buildings, but in the other way, we have some buildings people don't want to buy because there is a lack of trust, because they don't know if they will build the property. They will only buy if it's almost finished or finished.
And also promoters are quite stuck in a situation. I mean, they bought a couple of years ago for a certain price, they did their calculations. In the meantime, prices, material prices, they rose, property prices, they drop, but they have to stick to a certain sales price, because at the end they are not going to build and do a negative return on their project.
And usually promoters only need to build if they have 50% of their buildings, apartments being booked. They need 50% at least, even more, otherwise they can't start to build.
There's a pre-sale.
Yeah. So you've got to pre-sale 50% before you can,
and sometimes
you can start building. So you
because
can't.
Before that, the bank lends you the
bank,
money to start the building. Yeah, so you sell on paper, the promoter is having a paper, it says, look, I have 20 apartments that I can sell, super project, and I sell them one after another one, puts it on for sale, contacts one of us and say, look, sell them my apartments, and then when do you start to build? Well, I start to build in 18 months maybe, or in a year, or I have to sell 30% or 40% or 50%.
Yeah.
And then,
at the beginning, it's very difficult, because for the first buyers, So, for example, for a building for 20 apartments, we have to wait 10 apartments at least before starting. So the first buyers, it's difficult for us as a research agent to say, okay, you can buy the apartment, but in fact, we don't know when the it will start to build. So at the end, when it will be delivered, maybe it can be in 3, 4, 5 years. Yeah.
So this is like a standoff. Banks are looking at the builders looking at the buyers, and everyone's just waiting for each other to move, and no one's moving.
If you have to wait too long because the construction doesn't start, well, you back off.
Yeah.
So instead of having 20, you have suddenly 19, 18, so all those people buy out, so it does not happen. Well, this is all the consequences why buying and renting is so bloody expensive in Luxembourg. And each house, for me, even a small house is a castle for people with a small with a smaller budget. Yeah, but it is just enormously lot of money on every view. And I think for foreigners that come to Luxembourg, they discuss with their HRs the salary they're going to get.
Yeah.
And that might be double or triple of what they get in their own home country where they come from. But you do not realize what are the costs of lodging and living here in Luxembourg.
Do we have the same dynamic just across the border and the other?
Big cities have the same problem. But you, as living in Luxembourg, you don't want to go and live in or working in Luxembourg, and you just arrive, you don't want to go and live in a German or in a French site. Yeah. For traffic reasons, but also for all kind of other economical reasons. I mean, you don't have the same schools, you don't have the same doctors, you don't have the same
and the quality of life,
you don't have the same quality of life.
I drove out towards Arlan yesterday morning, and there was I'm glad I did not sit in the traffic every morning.
But I have good news because we are discussing about new buildings. But for me, for the current properties that are not new, the price are low, the interest rates are lower. Since 1 year, the market is going really much more better than before the crisis.
It feels to me to meet Luxembourg's ambitions of being a 1 million person country by whatever the date is, that we actually need to increase the housing density. So it's the conversion of the houses with big gardens into what can be very nice apartments within the cities, which is needed for the new
building. State does a lot of work. I mean, I don't say that the state doesn't do. I mean, Luxembourg City does a lot of work. They are building everywhere. The state is trying to build everywhere. You have the SNHBM houses. But even the SNHBM houses do not sell because there are people with lower income. They don't have lower income. They have also higher interest. Yeah? So it is all a play. And then there are many people that say, I don't want to buy an SNHBM house.
So SHBM is the kind of affordable...
So they also have their trouble. And then people say, if I'm buying a house, I want it to be mine, and I don't want to have a lease going on a plot of land. Yeah. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah, and you also have very often restrictions. If you buy something, you are not allowed to sell it in a certain period and not able to do any capital gain, basically, on it. But
That are the modern rules, because a few years ago, it was not like that. Yeah. There are cities where we were built by SNHBM. The deal was you have to live in there for 17 years. And after 17 years, it's yours. You buy a house for 300,000 euros, you live in there for 17 years, and then you're allowed to sell it for 1 million.
Yeah.
Whenever do you going to make so much money just by living in a house?
It's not very liquid, though. If you need to move or if divorce or something like that, it's an issue.
Don't divorce. Every breach of contract, breach of contract is always expensive. And unfortunately, with the divorce, the children pay the most expensive price. Don't forget the kids are made by love and not by hate.
I think that's a positive note that we should start to draw close on. This has been really interesting. I was hoping I would find out the answers to how we could solve our housing problem. I think I've just discovered it's a bigger problem than I realized it was.
And that's why buyers need to be with a very professional real estate agency.
That is again on the platforms that you see the professional agencies. You said, okay, it's rented out, take it off. The next one, take it off. So that's the real pond of apartments for rent is visible. The prices are incredibly high. A bedroom, a one bedroom, you could go to 1,500 euros in a shared apartment. That is also a problem for many people. If you have an apartment in Luxembourg, you could do a co-living.
Yeah.
But a co-living is not always very, welcomed by the owners. And it is also not very well defined by the state. Because if you take, you have to pay tax. And one of you loses your job and still lives in the apartments, the taxes are actually calculated on the people living in the house and not individually. So they take, oh, there is enough money because you do a lot of good salary and you have a bad salary, or you have no salary anymore, we are the Adem. They can tell you, well, you don't, there is enough salary money in the house, so we will not pay you out anymore because actually you have to support.
So you can suddenly find yourself paying for your co-livers losing their job because some companies downsized, right?
And you cannot put them out, and et cetera, et cetera. So it is complicated. If they would do already some churches on that, but then you have also people that rent out beds in horrible conditions.
Yeah.
But that is, I'm very happy. I have not really seen that. I know some of that, and I stay away of that because I hate it. I think we are humans and we are living in Luxembourg.
I can just add to this. I've seen a couple of these properties. I always said no, but it's just horrible what I saw there. The conditions, how they went out there, their property. They just want to make money and they don't care about if there's one person living there or five, and they are just asking horrendous amounts of rent. And I think there's also a point where the government could do some checkups, some audits on it to see if these apartments are rented out as they should be, and if not, the landlord will be punished.
So you refuse to act on behalf of those people is what you're saying?
Don't work. Yeah, don't work with these landlords.
But you have others who think that's a good opportunity.
Yeah. I think if you are entering the rental market, one of the most important things is go with real estate agents that can trust and act with integrity. I've passed my Spruken test, so I am now Luxembourgish. But one of the only few phrases I actually remember in Luxembourgish was when Maurits was on, mais in ein gute agence. So that's one of the only bits of Luxembourgish I remember. So, if people want to get in contact with you, how would they do that?
Give me a call or just write me an email at maurits@vanmaurits.lu.
For us, it's www.lrealestate.lu, or the email is contact@lrealestate.lu.
Yeah, for me, it would be my website, immo-spautz.lu, or send us a mail at contact@immo-spautz.lu, and we will help you out.
Thank you so much for coming. I have a feeling you may be back again in a couple of seasons' time.
Yeah,
thank you very much.